Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. I sense the Lord telling me that it's time for healing the body. So we're going to be talking for several weeks about God's love, what He's done for us, what Christ does for us. And I'll give you a heads up. The love of God is to be reciprocated. That's the part, that's our part. God loves us, so we are to love Him. And that's what all of our service should come from. That should be our motivation. Sometimes it's not. We are pretty self-centered. And I mean we when I say we. We want to look out for number one, and we get to thinking we're number one. The devil likes to think that way, because when you love yourself supremely, it's hard to love God and His children. So we're going to talk this morning out of a very familiar passage of gospel, John 3, verses 13 to 18. I use the English Standard Version because I like the way it's written. It's easier understood. Now we'll get into the Word. No one has ascended into heaven except Jesus descended to heaven, Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. I've also included this text in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is a transliteration. And what they have done is the Greek scholars have expounded on meaning words. So I've just added that clarification. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He even gave up His only begotten, His unique Son, so that whoever believes Him, trusts Him, clings to, relies on Him, shall not perish, come to destruction, lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge the world or to reject it or condemn it or to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through Him. He who believes Him, who clings to, who trusts Him, relies on Him, not judged. He who trusts in Him never comes up for judgment, for there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. But he who does not believe, does not cling to, rely on, or trust Him, is judged already. He has already been convicted and has already received sin, because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ. Father, I thank You for Your Word. You said it always accomplishes what You sent it out to do. It never comes back empty. It always bears fruit. And I thank You. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit who has sent here to live within us, Lord, so You said we would not be yours. And He also takes the things that are yours and shares them with us. We praise You and thank You for that. I pray this morning, Lord, that if there be any here who have never surrendered, that this will be a day of salvation. If there's any here today who question Your love for them, Father, that You would open their eyes and tell them just how much You love them. Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, Christ our Lord. Now, some of you may be saying, why are we going all the way back here? You know, we know all this. We learned this in Sunday school. Those of you that have been in church for years, yeah? I know. But Peter said it's a good thing to bring things to our remembrance. And we live in a wicked world. Wicked world. And if we're not careful, if we don't follow Christ as we should, we can start being absorbed by the world. If we're not careful, it can happen. Paul said, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Sin is the most expensive thing in this universe. It cost God what was dearest. I was interested to find in the Greek when Jesus called the only begotten Son. You know, well, wait a minute, we're sons and daughters. God sent His Spirit into the heart of the believer that we may cry, Abba, Father, but He's the only begotten Son. And the Greek means that He has this unique relationship with God that we'll never have. You remember, John wrote in his gospel, no one has ever seen God but God, the one and only, who came from the Father's bosom, has made Him known. God, in essence, put His very heart into the form of a man named Jesus. God was revealing to us His great love that He had. The Scriptures say that He loved us while we were His enemies, so He tells us to love our enemies. And it's like, yeah, Lord, I got to work on that. Sin costs God everything. Now, I want to make something clear to you here. When Jesus talks about being condemned, He means exactly what He says. You'll be judged. If you reject Christ, you will be judged. And as Paul said, the wages of sin is death. Well, that's not physical death, because saint and sinner all alike will die a physical death. It's not spiritual death, because if you're not a Christian, you're already spiritually dead. The Bible teaches that. It says that the things of God are foolishness. Jesus said to the Jews, don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming and it's already here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He doesn't mean just those who hear the word, but those who respond to it. They'll live. So when Jesus is talking about judgment and Paul mentions death, this is an eternity of dying, if you will. If we choose to reject God's one and only Son, Jesus said, you're already judged. You've already been condemned. Peter said, their damnation does not sleep. Now, eternal death, eternal dying, what do I mean by that? The Bible says that those who reject Christ will be thrown into a lake of fire with the devil and his angels. They'll be reunited with their bodies at the resurrection because all the dead are raised. Isaiah said all the earth will spit out the dead that's in them, the dirt, the physical body. This is what I believe eternal death is referring to. The heroin addict will spend eternity jonesing for that fix. Can you imagine somebody going through withdrawals forever and ever and ever and ever? The drunkard will thirst for alcohol forever. The sex addict will burn with lust forever. All these desires unsatisfied. And the Bible describes this place also as a bottomless pit, a place of complete darkness. If you choose on this side to reject God's offer, this is your future. Now, what's eternal life? Jesus defined that in one sentence in John 17. When he was praying, he said, Father, I want those you have given me to have eternal life, and this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. In the kingdom of heaven, it will be an eternal revealing of God to his people. We can't exhaust that. Imagine that. Forever and ever and ever, God's going to reveal himself to us intimately. When Jesus said to know, that word means to be intimate. See, it's not to know about. A head knowledge of God, it doesn't do anything. A head knowledge of Jesus Christ will not save you. A head knowledge of the Bible will not save you. When Jesus said they need to know you, that term is to be intimate. When the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament, said Sarah, or Abraham knew Sarah and she conceived, that's the word. No, God's not wanting to have sex with you. God is wanting an intimacy with you that he created us to be in the very first place. Look at Adam and Eve. God would come down and walk in the garden and talk. I think Adam would say, look what I'm doing over here, Lord. I've been working on this. God said, yeah, that looks good, Adam. He had a one-on-one with these two. And so when Jesus talks about eternal life, it's not just living forever, because every one of you will live forever. We are made in the image of God. We have the spirit within us that God created us to have. And that spirit cannot be destroyed. It will live for eternity, but it's got to live somewhere. Okay? So when Jesus says you'll have eternal life, here's another way to word it. They will have an eternity of living. What is living? To know the true God in Jesus Christ. Okay. Haven't you, since you've been a Christian, haven't you felt a different purpose in life? Haven't you viewed life from a different angle? Has not the Holy Spirit opened your eyes and you start seeing, man, I got a purpose? Do you read the Bible 20 years later and go, wow, I never saw that before? That's living. That's what Jesus taught. This revelation, God to his people. For God so loved. Well, Martin Luther called this the Bible in miniature. He said the whole text of the Old Testament, or New Testament, new and old actually, can be expressed in these two verses. He said the magnitude of God's love was expressed. For God so loved. Some of the translations I read said God so loved the world very much. God very much loved the world. That's the magnitude. And it wasn't the righteous people. He loves the sinner too. He loves the drunk laying in the gutter this morning just as much as he loves you. He values him just as much. In fact, more. Remember what Jesus said happens when a sinner repents? He said the angels in heaven are glorious. They have a party because a sinner has repented. Jesus said, look, the shepherd, when one of the flocks is gone and he goes after him and he brings it home, he'll rejoice more over that sheep he found than the 99 he left. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love his people, the church. But John has a direct correlation in his gospel to the fact that if we can't love others, we can't love God. God said that, not me. Well, wait a minute. I thought the Holy Spirit was supposed to put that in. It's in you. God's love is in you. You're made in his image. And until the church begins to value the lost, we're not going to go anywhere. We'll just be a little inbred group, if you will. You know, we're just sitting here waiting for the Lord to come back. Praise God. For God so loved us, sinners and righteous flocks, that he gave his only unique son. The love of God is a sacrificial still love his gaze. Why? Because if he wouldn't have gazed, you and I would be in a sphere of fish. He wouldn't be forgiven. See, the law said without the shedding of the blood, there isn't forgiveness. But God wasn't satisfied with the blood of animals. He never had that in mind. It was a shadow to show us what Christ was. Jesus didn't get saved. When Jesus talked about him dying, they said, wait a minute. Messiah doesn't die. He doesn't especially die criminal. Jesus said he loves you so much. So the prophet song for my sin. How can you not trust God? I think Satan loves. He can't be omnipresent. So if you're being tempted, don't say, well, the devil's doing it because he might be busy somewhere else. But he's got a lot of cohorts that work with. A lot of the fallen names. But I think one of his favorite tricks is to convince you that you're unlovable. I see people like that all the time. They're strung out on dope, the alcohol. They think they're unlovable, they're unworthy. I've heard people say, well, I can't come to church, man. I ain't asking to come to church. I'm asking to come to church. So, yeah. Well, how come you preach so hard? I'm a disciple maker. Yeah. And once you come to Jesus Christ, I want you to keep coming and keep being discipled by me and other people in this church. We're disciple makers. That's what we've been called to do. We'll be judged on that. I believe that on the day of judgment. Jesus is going to say, well, did you go? Did you make any disciples? What'd you do with the talent I gave you? You don't want to be one that says, well, Lord, I hid it in the earth. I knew you was a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow. You expect returns. You expect me to do stuff that I just didn't think you'd do. So here's your talent, Lord. What do you say? I'll take it away from you and give it to somebody else. That's condemnation. That's death. For God so loved, so very much loved the world, that he gave his only unique son. Who came from his bosom. The Greek says it can be rendered bosom or lap. Came from the lap of the Father, a place of intimacy. Jesus called himself the Son of Man. Do you know what that means? Jesus belongs to us. God so loved that he sent his Son, who stepped down from his heavenly glory, and he became just like you and me. And Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man just as many times as the Son of God. He's reminding us, I belong to you. I'm one of you. Praise God. He's been tempted in every way as I have, yet without sin. And I can go to him, my high priest, and say, Lord, I'm so weak. And he'll say, I know. I've been there. In this world, you're going to have trials, but be of good cheer, Rick. I overcame them. And if you'll keep walking and holding my hand, you'll overcome them. Remember what John said? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in what? Faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you can stand, but will provide a way out. Christians, too many times, especially us men, we don't look for the back door. We don't look for the way out. We think we're strong enough, we'll get in there and play and sin a little bit. Just a little bit. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and I think in his heart, Jesus began to answer the question he really wanted to ask. The magnitude of God's love, whoever will. You're a whosoever. Did you know that? I'm a whosoever. Maybe we ought to change the name of the church to the Church of the Whosoever. You know, maybe people might come in and say, wow, this is kind of weird. What's going on here? Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells you. Little ones to him belong. They are weak. He is strong. That is one of the most scriptural sounded songs I've ever heard in my life. Luther said, it's preach whoever will. God reaches out to a world that hates you. Because I love you so much that I'm going to give the dearest thing I have so it'll be safe for me to forgive you if you'll reciprocate that, Father. Come. Luther said God's love is impartial. He gives it to whomsoever, man and woman, child, white, black, red, yellow. He's got a lot of love. You know, Creator has a lot of love. He's got enough to go around and then some. When I was in drugs, I remember one night me and a guy were sitting shooting up meth. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, you know, I think I'm just believing. Looking for free. Well, he didn't find it in the meth. Later, I found it, and he was in prison. I wrote to him and said, remember that night, you know, that he told me, that I found the something. He said, man, why don't you try? He ain't done everything. You know? Well, that I know of, he didn't. When he got out of prison, I saw him in town one day. He walked up and wrapped his arms around. Didn't say a word. Just gave me a big hug. Around, walked off. A couple of years later, he found dead in his house. They think his heart was structure. That's where the drugs take you and the booze. I don't care if you're drinking champagne out of a crystal glass, still pigs. Doesn't matter what you drink it out. Okay? There's more to life. Martin says, Martin, I'm on the first base. Luther says, God's love is impartial. What does that mean? That means God loves anybody who's willing to come to him. So in the church, should we pick and choose who we witness to? We do, though. No, I'm not coming to talk. So who are you talking to? Don't raise your hand. How many of you in the last year have shared the testimony of Christ with someone or with a group? Well, that's not my call. That's a lie. Peter said that we are pillars being built into a spiritual dwelling for God to live in. In that day, they had a place of healing and they worshiped the serpent and he was the god of healing. And you would go there and pay good money to the priest, and they would have you gorge yourself on meat, sometimes raw meat, and wine that had some psychedelic drugs mixed with it. And then you went downstairs and had your spirit vision. And the serpent would appear and tell you what you need to do to be healed. The ones who believed they were healed, the richer patrons, would have it inscribed by a stonemason on a piece of limestone block, this is what this God did for me. And they said that Peter, when he made that reference, was pointing to that practice. And he's saying the gospel of Jesus Christ is in our heart, and on our outside, it should be able to be read. That in our testimony, it's like us carving that in the stone, but God carves it. And Peter said people ought to be able to look at you and say, wow,
Look what God's done in their life. Because he loved them.
Because they loved him back.
That's so important.
That's so important.
God's love and relationship is not one-sided. You have to reciprocate. You have to change your mind. If you're not a Christian, you need to change your mind.
Don't depend on being a good old boy or a good old girl. You know, I've never raped or killed or stolen anybody, so that makes me better than loving God in the pen. No, it doesn't. I'm going to tell you something about being in the penitentiary. The only reason I wasn't because I didn't get caught. Okay? So the guy that's done time, I'm no better than him. He got caught. I didn't. But we both need a Savior. I told you my testimony. The guy that finally got me, I worked for one Baptist preacher, and he delighted in telling me I was on my way to hell. And he was right. I told him, yeah, you're right. I'm going to hell. I know it. I also said that I've been listening and watching you, and I'm going to save you a spot right next to me. See, I was a hardhead even before I came to Christ. I kind of said what I thought. It was that preacher that came to the house one day, and I worked with him, and he said, have you ever heard of Jesus? I said, yeah, and I don't want to hear it again. Well, I'd just like to tell you about love. I said, I don't want to hear it. I used to believe in it. I don't now. You know, look at me, man. I look like a product of evolution. Had big long hair and a beard. And I don't want to hear it. I said, okay. One day he showed up at my house. He said, I know I said I wouldn't bother you, but I got to. He said, man, I've been praying for you, and the Lord wants me to come and tell you that he loves you. That was hard to argue. I wish I could say right there and then I surrendered, but I didn't. It was about 3 months later. I finally realized that God did love me. He loved me enough, he showed me what I was. To me, that's being saved. God loves you so much, he'll tell you about your faults. And that's lifelong. Being sanctified, being made holy is a lifelong process. I've been a Christian for 34 years. I sometimes think, really, God? I mean, man, is I still got stuff I got to work on? Yeah. Yeah, you do. He said, God's love has a beneficial richness. It blesses the life eternal. That's what he's offering us. Because, he, as I said, if you reject it, all you have to look forward to is eternal death. Eternal misery. Well, if God's such a God of love, why does he do that? Because of God's moral government, he has to put us somewhere. And whatever thing God does, it's not just all about you, sweet pea. It's about the whole universe, about all of God's ordered system. What would this world be like if Adolf Hitler and Augustus Caesar and Mussolini and people like that were still alive? You ever think about that? My God, you could probably put them all in a room and they'd kill one another because they'd all be trying to, you know, I'm going to rule. But now think of that. People like this, men and women like this, whose eternal spirit leaves the body, they have to go somewhere. And God in his righteousness says they will go to a place that they cannot get out of. They'll bother nobody again. Abraham told the rich man, there's a gulf between us. We can't come to you. You can't come up to us. That's eternal death. Abraham said, remember, son, in your life, you had good things. Lazarus was tormented. So it's a place of remembrance. No chance or all you got to look forward to is eternal death. And people will seek death. They will run from it because death is on it. What God is offering us sinners who don't deserve it. He's offering us eternal living. And this is eternal life. Know him. That's what heaven's going to be like. The last thing that Luther mentions is limitation. He says in these verses, Jesus given the limitation of God. It is nowhere said that God so loves that he will save unbelievers. That's what's universal. Love is the mutual and binding grace between God and man. No. That's work salvation, brother. No. That's the truth straight up. God, I love you so much, I'm giving the very dearest thing that I have to suffer the penalty and the wages of sin. That way, I can safely forgive whoever will come to me through. Because the demands of the law have been met. Wages of sin is set. Jesus took your sins and my sins on his body, paid the wage for God's gift, eternal living. Who wouldn't choose that? I've heard a lot of arguments over the years that I've been a Christian and a minister why people won't come to Christ. I ain't ready yet. Well, the longer you put it off, the less ready you'll be, because you'll become so hardened, so convinced that you don't need Christ, that you're going to go into eternity without it. God can't love somebody like you. That's a lie. God loved you even when you were sinning. Well, I can't walk the Christian walk. You sure can, or he wouldn't ask you to. He also says, I'll put my spirit in you to write my laws in your heart. He said, you believe that we're still under law? Yeah, we're under moral law. And it's written in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the voice that says, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't hook up with her. Or don't hook up with them. What is the law of God? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you become a Christian, the Bible says that his love is poured abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said it's like a fountain, and he said you'll not only be filled, but that love will spill out to people around you if you let it. I've been to meetings two nights up Mountain Road. I've seen 15 people make decisions for Christ. And I was so impressed. They talked about sin and its consequences, but they talked about love and acceptance. One of them said, man, Jesus loved you so much he died for you, but he loves you too much to keep let you stay the way you are. And that's a lifelong thing. Lifelong. I've never understood what he said. Well, when you come this far, you've made it, and no more worry. No. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I see my own wretch. The more I see my wretch, the more I see my need. God loves you. Just like you are. He doesn't say, I'll love you if you'll change. People say it. I've heard people say, well, God might save him if he'd give up that nasty tobacco habit. So maybe we need to build a church in your name. I heard one preacher talk about a lady got filled with the Spirit at a meeting, and this one lady said, God would fill her if she'd take off all that jewelry. And the preacher said, too late. God's already filled her, jewelry and all. Boy, she's just worshiping, praising the Lord. God loves you so much that he gave his most prized possession so you wouldn't have to die eternally, but you could live eternally.
that eternal life, not just eternity in the kingdom of heaven, it's an eternity of becoming acquainted with God and with the Son, Jesus Christ. No wonder they're going to be shouting in heaven. Stand with me. I want to ask you something. Maybe you're here and say, well, I said that sinner's prayer, but, you know, I'm still really struggling. You can say the sinner's prayer and not be a Christian. Well, I was baptized, but, you know, I don't know what's going on, man. I don't sense a change. You can be baptized and just get wet. Just be a waterlogged sinner. Jesus invites you to come to Him. When you say a prayer, you're talking to Him. It says, change your mind. That's what repent means. We need to be careful in the church. And I'm just as bad as others, but you're using theological terms that you've been trained with, and a lot of people will repent. What's repent mean, man? Change your mind. Stop fighting with God. That's what He's asking. He said, look, here's eternal life. Just like He said to Israel when He gave him the law, He said, I give you the choice today of life or death. You choose which it will be. I'm telling you that today. The Lord's saying that to you today. If you're here and you've never called out on Him, He's saying today is the day of salvation. Make your choice now. If you need to do that, would you come up here and sit on the front row? And we'll talk. If you're here today and you are a Christian, you're a child of God, maybe you're saying, well, I'm looking for a place to put my membership. Come forward and we'll talk about that. Please don't resist the Holy Spirit and walk out of this building without settling things between you and your Creator. Would you come as we sing the song of invitation? Coming here
I was 27th of March, third of April, gotta be honest. I am going, by God's permission, to start a recovery support group. We'll meet downstairs. This people stop problems with drugs, sex, food, whatever. It's open to anybody that feels like, man, I need support. And keep praying about it. Keep praying that God's going to move on the same heart. Is there anything else I can't remember? Must be something else. But I'll think of it about 2 o'clock. So glad you could be here today. Pray that God will bless you, that the message of His love is going to touch you. My phone number is in the directory. Amen. If you need to talk, call me. I sleep with my phone on a chair by my head. And don't hesitate. When you need to talk, call me. I'll be glad to talk. Jesus Christ loves you. I want you to know that. Loves you so much. Suffered a terrible death. Death couldn't hold him, been raised again, and that guarantee. It's a win-win situation. Brother Denny, go off and close.
Dear Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for the opportunity to come together today in this fellowship of love and grace that you have offered us to receive the knowledge of the Word that's been shared with us through Brother Rick today. We humbly and earnestly pray for the strength and the guidance and the wisdom to face the week ahead of us in the trials and tribulations that we shall face. We pray that we have the strength to face these tribulations in a way that would glorify you. I humbly ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.